This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on Newsstand Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you for listening to WNRN and the Sunday morning wake-up call. And a thanks to Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports celebrating 40 years as your local one-stop source for outdoor gear, apparel, and footwear. This holiday season, Blue Ridge has adventure gifts, including water bottles, multi-tools, sunglasses, backpacks, mittens, gloves, and snow hats. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville and at two locations in Richmond. For more information, it's brms.com. All right, we are here today to talk about filmmaking in Virginia. I want to thank our three guests for being here. We have Ann Chapman. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. We have Kevin O'Donnell.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Robert Ray.
Good morning, all.
Now, let's get started. All three of you had something to do with the film that's gotten a lot of praise and certainly publicity for being filmed here in Virginia, correct?
Yes.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I would like, we're going to go ladies first. I want to hear a story about your involvement that you can share. Now, many of us know that there was, what's the proper phrase that was used about you can't talk about certain things?
The non-disclosure form. Non-disclosure agreement that we signed.
So I'm aware that there are certain stories that you can't tell, but I want to hear a story from you, just some sort of entertaining talk about working on Lincoln.
Well, what I can say is that all of my work with my partner on this project, Erica Arvold, we cast the local day player roles, was before screening, before filming actually started. So I actually only visited the set one day, but we did work on it literally for months before a lot of people knew about the project. And it was kind of fun to be in on that end and know that this huge project was coming to town that a lot of people didn't know about. And I don't know if the people who are listening are familiar with the audition process, but a lot of times you audition from scenes from the actual script. You use those scenes in the audition. Well, for this particular film, Tony Kushner wrote the screenplay. He wrote dummy sides, or what we call what you audition with. He wrote dummy sides for the auditions. So the words that the actors were using in the auditions were not ever words that were going to be spoken on screen. Usually doesn't happen that way. And it was that was my interesting story.
Is that, and to bring everybody back into the conversation, how unusual is that? I mean, that you get you're getting a dummy script just to test your ability to act and act in the manner that role needs?
I think it goes back to how good they are at keeping the script under wraps until it opens nationwide. And so even the actors who were auditioning and either got the role or didn't get the role didn't see pages of the real script until they were cast and were going to be working on the film. And every actor that came in, their audition sides were watermarked. So every actor's name was across the pieces of paper that they were using to audition. And we had a sign-in system so that you got your audition piece when you arrived, signed for it, and then had to hand it back in before you left. So none of these pages of the script were going to be getting out anywhere.
And how unusual is that?
100% unusual.
100% unusual.
Yes.
Ann Chapman, she's a casting director here in the Charlottesville area, working nationwide terms of filling roles?
Yes, definitely. We drew, for this particular project, they were very adamant about using local actors. Local meaning we were able to bring some people from North Carolina and Maryland and D.C., but on other projects we definitely have brought in from nationwide.
Kevin, you were getting ready to speak there. You're
Well, in regards to Anne's remark about the watermarks, Robert may have had the same experience, but over the course of 4 weeks when I was involved with the film, I would receive my script in stages, if you will, only what I needed to know for the upcoming week. And they were watermarked and FedExpressed, and of course, enclosed in that was a return address envelope, which I had to mail back as soon as possible when they said to mail it back. Yeah. Which we did, so that goes along with Anne's saying regarding the security and so forth.
Yeah, and even while filming, certain actors didn't have the full script even then. I remember the fellow that I was working with, David Warshawski, who was also a fellow senator in the scenes where we're trying to pass the 13th Amendment, although I was trying not to pass the 13th Amendment. he had several scenes. He had one key scene with Lincoln, with Daniel Day-Lewis, which was to be filmed, I think, a couple of weeks after we were done, and he had still not received sides. So it was an interesting process of just seeing a few feet ahead as opposed to where the whole story went.
It's the only script that I've worked on that I don't have a copy of the script. It's the only film.
So you mean sort of as a treasure?
Or to work from.
Sort of take home?
To work from, to take notes on. When Erica and I went in for our initial reading of the script, we needed to take notes on a computer because we were allowed to read the script and we were monitored while we were reading the script and then it stayed there. So everything that we worked on in terms of knowing who to bring actors in, which actors to bring in for what role to audition for, we had to take notes on. It wasn't that we could refer back to a script continually.
Yeah. And the script kept changing too. These lines were cut in the final editing process, but I had lines that were added sort of last minute. Steven Spielberg wanted to go around the room and have one congressman from each section respond to a speech about giving women the vote, which was even worse than giving Negroes the vote or allowing them freedom. And I was fortunate to have one of these lines assigned, but I had improvised some line, and Steven liked it.
He said, let's
look at the script. And then Tony Kushner's line was, give babies the vote, give monkeys the vote. He said, well, let's go with that. And so it was just sort of added in, even though it wasn't officially, part of their shooting script for the day. And there was another scene afterwards where lines were added. And I think even Kushner might have written a speech on the set of one particular day I was shooting for another fellow actor, just literally typing it and then giving it to him to act out, that very day. So it was a movable feast of a script as well. But
that's Robert Ray, a local actor participating in the film Lincoln, shot here in Virginia. We also have Kevin O'Donnell and Ann Chapman. Kevin, I want to know what role, and by role, I mean person that you played in the film.
Well, certainly, yeah. But first of all, I'd like to acknowledge Anne, which I haven't before. When I went in for my initial audition, or perhaps it was my second callback, Anne and Eric were there, and they were taping. And I read, I believe, Edward Stanton, I remember.
Yes.
And I read it, and they conferred, and Anne asked me to do it again in a particular way. And she had some good direction for me, and it apparently helped out as I got the part. So I wanted to thank you, Anne, publicly for that.
That's so nice.
Who
thank
knows?
You.
That might have made a difference. You never know, as you know.
I thank you too, Anne.
So, sorry, Rick. What was your question? I forgot.
What is the meaning of life?
As an actor, what was your role?
Oh, thank you very much. I was a lame duck congressman. There was four of us, which is historically true. As Mr. Lincoln was a consummate politician, and he needed our votes to pass the 13th Amendment. And so James Spader and John Hawkes were two of the people he employed to get those votes. And I was a Democratic, what they call a peace Democrat at the time, from Yonkers, New York, Charles Hanson. And there was a scene. I had 9 days with Robert inside the House of Representatives, which was the Virginia State Capitol. And then for my scene with John Hawkes was outside on the Capitol steps. And he approaches me, and we'll let the viewers see the movie regarding that scene. But the point I'm making is that Mr. Spielberg came out, and we did it once, and Mr. Spielberg came over and said, And Kevin, and I was watching him, and he was looking up, and he was thinking of some direction. And then a smile came over his face, and he gave me this particular direction. And I thought to myself, how wonderful that here is this actor, a small part, but it's obviously everything is important to him. And what I found very endearing was that he was smiling as he was thinking of this direction. And I thought, here's the boy, 12 years old in Scottsdale, Arizona, with an 8mm camera. And in many ways, obviously, it's the same boy. But now he has million-dollar cameras. So that's what I thought of when he gave me that direction. I thought, how wonderful. Because he brought that across in his enthusiasm.
How great to have a moment like that.
Yeah, it was... Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it very much. It was... He was wonderful.
Robert, what was your role in the film?
I played a congressman from New Jersey, Daniel G. Stewart, Democrat, who was voting against the 13th Amendment. So I was one of the bad guys. And I did try to channel a little bit of Chris Christie into my character work.
That obviously before,
yeah,
but, before the events of Samantha,
yeah. Sandy.
Sandy,
yeah, before,
thank you.
Yeah, pre-Sandy. Just to give it a little bit of a Jersey feel. But I agree with Kevin. It was remarkable watching Stephen work with actors and. You know, he took a very, just a real innocent delight in the craft of everyone. I mean, he really cared about the actors and gave them all the time and space they needed to produce the results that not only he wanted, but that they were happy with. And he was happy to do many different takes on just one line, say, for any given moment. Extraordinarily generous, yeah, and also extraordinarily inventive. He would just keep adding little touches to different performances. Lee Price, who has this great moment where he's sort of brandishing the 13th Amendment in front of the faces of some of his arch enemies in session. Stephen would have him play it different ways, like, okay, now hold the amendment like it's some smelly rat, you know, in front of them, and now hold it like this, and da da da. So you would just try different things, much like a stage director, actually. But it was so much fun to watch, and he was just incredible on his feet. He would just say something like, oh, I have an idea. Let's do this, and then all of a sudden, all this massive equipment would move in a completely different direction, and then he would. Execute whatever it was that he had in mind that suddenly occurred to him. So it was very spontaneous as well as well thought out.
Stephen was very efficient and economical in his movement, and he stuck to his schedule. But he was at the same time very generous with the actors. If they felt they needed another take or so forth, he would say, mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yep.
Well, we're here on WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call talking about filmmaking in Virginia. Off to our start, talking about the film Lincoln, which has been, recently come out to all theaters made here in Virginia. Our guests today, Kevin O'Donnell, Robert Ray, and Ann Chapman. Robert and Kevin participating as actors in the film. Ann Chapman, casting director, helping find a majority of the actors in the film, from smaller roles to...
Many of the roles were one word, and when you see the film, you'll see there's voting that takes place, and a lot of the auditions were yay or nay. Mm-hmm. And it's impressive how difficult it is to audition with one word.
Well, let me ask, because that's something that I wanted to get into, Anne, as a casting director. There was a recent article in The Hook is an underwriter of this program, and so it's competitive alternative weekly newspaper had an article on Lincoln and a lot of what goes into making this happen, bringing filmmaking to Virginia. And the word that I found throughout this newspaper article was professional. Actors needed to be professional, and that was not used in the sense of collecting money at the end of your work. It was a behavior. I'd like to know what professional behavior qualifies that on any film, but especially on such a large film with Steven Spielberg as the director.
In terms of actors or in terms of everyone working on the film?
Well, let's start with actors.
All right. So you want an actor to be professional. And I have to say that my experience is in the audition room. I am not usually on the set. The only time a casting director is on a set is either when they're visiting or something has gone wrong.
Good to know that you've never been on the set then.
You cast who?
But... You want an actor to be, that you've called in to be right for the role in the possibility, in the realm of being right for the role, something that the director and the producer will respond to as someone who fulfills what they're looking for. You want them to be prepared for the audition, and you want to believe that if they are cast and show up on a set and in a scene opposite Daniel Day-Lewis and being directed by Steven Spielberg, that they will be able to handle that in a way that won't embarrass you as having brought them in or embarrass the state of Virginia for having the film. It took us a long time to get this film to come here and be made here. And this film is almost like an ambassador for a whole bunch of other work to come to the state. And the experiences of people on the set who aren't from the state of Virginia and saw how professional our actors and crew members were, just leads them to talk about Virginia to other people and leads us to get more work in the future.
And we'll get into that as well during our hour as we talk about filmmaking in Virginia. Ann Chapman, a local casting director working across the country. Kevin and Robert, as actors, your view of being professional on site and was working with Steven Spielberg here on Lincoln, was that any different from any other sense of professionalism?
Sure. It's Steven Spielberg. just speaking for myself, I mean, you're working on the grandest scale possible on a film which, with Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Field, Tommy Lee Jones, James Spader, all these wonderful actors, and they're all, around you. I didn't have any scenes with Daniel Day-Lewis, but Tommy Lee Jones had many scenes across from him, and you do get a little conscious of the fact that you're working with the cream of the crop, the best of the best, and sometimes when you get a little too aware of it, it can be kind of daunting. But it's also professional, and Steven puts everyone at such ease because he's at such ease. So you were pretty well armed to be professional and not measure up to what was asked of you, because...
But Kevin, what does that mean in sense of, professional, other than not rushing up to Daniel Day-Lewis or Steven Spielberg and handing them your, your personal information about, oh, I love working with you, please call me next time. What else qualifies as being professional?
I think you're in the World Series, you're working with the very best. And it's privileged to be there, but you have to feel you belong there at the same time. And if you feel you belong there at the same time, you act accordingly. You bring forth your best because you're playing with the best, so to speak. And to not take advantage of watching and studying Mr. Spielberg while you're there and how his team works and how other actors work, you'd be foolish to waste that experience. But in order to have that experience, once again, you must feel you belong there because Anne and Erica and eventually Mr. Spielberg believes you belong there.
So we could go back to what gets you into the audition room in terms of professionalism. So I want to assume that every actor that comes in for an audition could book that role. That would be great for me to know that every single person that comes in is talented and trained and perfect not only for the role but for the genre. This is a period piece. We had different limitations that we had to work on amongst actors weren't heavy in 1864. People weren't heavy in 1864, so we couldn't have that many.
There weren't a lot of Cheetos.
There were not a lot of Cheetos. We couldn't have that many people who were very tall. We sort of had a height limit that we had to work with. Nobody could have dental work. So let's take
Question.
All of that.
Yeah. Not be very tall, is that because Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't extremely tall, and so everyone had to make him look the height of Lincoln, or is that actually period information that people just weren't, you know, a tall person was 6 foot?
Let's go with both of those.
Okay.
All right. And so then when people come into the room and you're looking at their resume and you think, oh, definitely, this is wonderful. They are doing a wonderful piece of work. They get passed on to the next level for the casting, the main casting director for the film. For this particular film, it was Avi Kaufman out of New York. And she then takes the decision to pass the information on to the producer and the director. So you want the actors that you have brought in to be talented and trained and able to work within the confines that we've given them. But we also had a lot of photos to work from, historical photos. So we were looking for a lot of people that looked like these photos that may not have ever acted before in their life, but they look a lot like this person. So we're going to give them a shot to see how it goes in the room. Sometimes it went really well, and other times not so well.
11:21 here on the Wake Up Call, talking with our guests today, Robert Ray, Ann Chapman, Kevin O'Donnell, about making Lincoln in the state of Virginia, some of the interesting stories that go with participating in that film with Steven Spielberg, Daniel Day-Lewis, and others. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about filmmaking more as a wide-ranging topic here in the state of Virginia. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast, partly cloudy today, highs in the lower 50s, then partly cloudy tonight, lows in the lower 40s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. Right now, in the Valley, 47, 49 in Lynchburg, 53 in Richmond, 49 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support for WNRN today also comes from L. Oppelman, serving Lynchburg for 122 years. In addition to loans, L. Oppelman deals in jewelry, musical instruments, rifles and handguns, game systems, TVs, cameras, and tools, with a new inventory arriving every day. This holiday season, you can take advantage of L. Oppelman's layaway plan and get a head start on your Christmas list. L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. All right, back with our guests today talking about the film Lincoln, filmed in Virginia, as well as filmmaking in the state of Virginia. The phone lines are open now if you want to call in and make a comment, ask a question to our guests. That's 979-0919-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's our toll-free line. And go back to you, Ann Chapman, who's a casting director working out of Charlottesville.
Actually,
on a variety
Richmond.
Of films out of Richmond.
Yeah, Erica Arvold, my frequent partner, is in Charlottesville, and I'm out of Richmond.
And that's where the film Lincoln was, much of it was done, correct?
Richmond and Petersburg, yes.
Talk about bringing films to the state of Virginia.
Well, it is a business, and we have a film office in Virginia, which I would say is one of the best film offices in the nation. So you can... They are not only competing with other states, but they're also competing with other countries. So you're trying to get people to come and scout the state of Virginia for their project. And our website, the state of Virginia's film office's website, is awesome in terms of locations that are available. And the film office, Andy Edmond is the interim director, Rita McClenny, the longtime director, and everyone that works at the film office is at the top of their game. And they are really good about bending over backwards to make it easy to film in the state of Virginia. I don't know many other governors who would let filming happen literally in their home for weeks on end. And I don't know many other state capitals that would allow the Capitol to be turned into a set. And
because this didn't take place during the time period that everything was shut down, or, you know, the governor wasn't away on vacation for a month when this happened. These were a residential home in use, and the Capitol...
They actually had to delay the putting up of the state Christmas tree for the filming schedule. It was very much on they were very much involved. It was happening in their back door, which actually, for the Virginia Production Alliance, which is the association of filmmakers in the state of Virginia, it was kind of yummy because you're all the delegates, all the legislators are walking past a major set to get to work.
That's right.
So they are seeing what happens day to day and how many people are on that set, how many people are being employed by this production. And when the legislation is in front of them about what we should put in the budget to bring films here, they can see it real time every day. And the thing I like about filmmaking and bringing it to the state is it's not necessarily bricks and mortar. They come in, they dump a bunch of money, they buy a lot of products, they go out to dinner, they spend nights in hotels, and then they leave. It's not like you're having to educate their children in the school system.
Excuse me, and wasn't the figure something like $38 million brought into, I don't know if the city, but the state?
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know the figures.
I think it was $38 million.
Oh, well, why is there legislation in front of the state government to put something in the budget?
I'm not the best person to answer that question, but it brings so much business to the state. So let's look at Lincoln. That's going to be a very important film, not only a popular film, for history buffs. And they're going to be very interested in coming to look at Richmond or Petersburg or places where this film was made. So it has a secondary tourism interest as well.
Excuse me, if I may, Ann. Just yesterday, I believe, in The Progress, Rick, there was a story regarding that. They're setting up the tourist division of the city or the state is setting up almost like a walking tour regarding
Lincoln
the film.
Lincoln was here.
Lincoln was here. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but, you know, so, and I'm not, but if I were a state senator, why would I be getting information? What am I doing with something in the budget? Why does the budget say something about Lincoln or something about
It doesn't say
filmmaking?
Something about Lincoln
but, I mean,
in particular.
What am I doing? Why is there something on the budget that I need to approve or disdain about filmmaking in Virginia?
As I said, I'm not the best person to answer that question, but I think that this is an industry that is easy to back, and it doesn't cost a lot of money to back it. The money comes to you when the production arrives, and then it goes away. So you're not having to build buildings and build infrastructure. They bring all of that themselves. So it's not going to cost, in other costs, the state a lot of money.
Does this have to do with the tax credits or...
Yes, we have incentives that
tax incentives.
Yeah, that the state offers to bring productions, and there are a number of different ways to apply for those incentives, and it can be anything from an independent film to a major film, and you know, major films or television shows, Killing Lincoln and The Abolitionists. We've been in the 1860s for a while here in filmmaking in Virginia. They are looking at a number of states or other countries to decide where to come and film. So you really have to go after that business to try to get them to come here.
I read where once Romania was even discussed for the filming of Lincoln.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
To build sets would be so much cheaper in Romania.
Because that's where they shot the Hatfields and McCoys,
that's correct.
Believe, right?
And there is in Romania, there's part of the army that their job is to be extras in films.
Extras in a film.
That's interesting.
11:29 here on the Wake Up Call, talking with our guests today, Kevin O'Donnell, Robert Ray, and Chapman, about making Lincoln here in the state, and other movies as well. Filmmaking as a whole is a topic here today on the Wake Up Call. Today's programming also supported by Dixon Disposal, family-owned and operated for 40 years. Dixon Disposal works to promote green awareness, and Dixon offers all-in-one can recycling, so you won't have to spend time sorting or trying to figure out which items are recyclable. These recyclable items will not end up in the landfill, so for more information on the all-in-one can recycling, call Dixon Disposal, 978-2111, or visit DixonDisposal.com. Kevin, how many different films have you participated in the state of Virginia?
Well, all have been related with Ann. And Robert, another one. Killing Lincoln, which Ann and I were discussing earlier, it may be airing January 13th on the Discovery Channel. Or
National Geographic.
Thank you, ma'am. That was Ridley and the late Tony Scott production of Mr. Riley's best-selling book, which we know that now Tom Hanks is narrating. That's January 13th. And then The Abolitionist, which Ann cast, was filmed in Petersburg mostly, Ann?
Yes, mostly Petersburg, and that's for WGBH.
PBS Boston.
Mm-hmm.
That is airing January 8th.
American Experience.
American Experience.
Tell me another story that doesn't have to be related to filming of the movie Lincoln, but just being an actor in the state of Virginia.
If I may, I'm filming an independent
film. I'm sure everybody here has a story to tell, so don't wait for one person to start.
On the phone for Mr. Ray here. So, if I may, we're filming an independent film now with Andy helped us out regarding location. Andy Edmonds, thank you. It's called Faux Pas, Doug and Judy Barry here in Charlottesville. We're filming right now an independent film in Virginia. There's a lot of Charlottesville is a wealth of talent, of film and musicians and actors, and as Ann knows, it's a deep well for this lovely town here.
Yeah, there's a lot of independent films that are under the radar, so to speak, and I just saw one last night which premiered at the Paramount. My Full Heart, yeah, a film project that I think Justin Martin is the director, worked on for a number of years, and finally came out with the latest print of it. I didn't know that was being filmed, but
Love Letter to Charlottesville.
Yeah, Love Letter to Charlottesville. A lot of Charlottesville references in the script, and there's a lot going on.
The Virginia Film Festival really helps.
Yeah.
That's based here in Charlottesville.
One of the questions that I have is, you know, what kind of role has that played now? 25 years. Of ongoing, I think the 25th anniversary was the one that just passed. But what kind of role has that played in bringing not just films to Charlottesville? I know that some of the movies have come to Charlottesville or opened at the film festival sort of thing, but bringing filmmaking to our area.
Well, I can give you an example of that. There's a competition that takes place during the Virginia Film Festival called the Governor's Film Competition, or I think it's called the Governor's Film Competition. So anyone can submit a screenplay for that, and it needs to be a screenplay that could possibly be shot in the state of Virginia. That's the one caveat that they have. This needs to be able to be made in the state of Virginia. One past winner is Vince Gilligan. Breaking Bad is what he's working on now.
Yep.
And I think, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think Home Fries was the script that he won with for that competition. Another person is Megan Hawley. She won the competition. And Sunshine Cleaning is the film that she won with. So originally, Sunshine Cleaning, and this goes back to getting filmings done in the state of Virginia incentives, Sunshine Cleaning was set so that it could be shot in the state of Virginia. And she was approached by someone who had read it at the competition and loved it and ended up, I think they bought it from her and made it, and it was shot in Arizona or New Mexico. I don't have all the details. But because it was more economical to not shoot it in the state of Virginia, it was not shot in the state of Virginia. And the whole purpose of the competition was to find scripts that could be shot in the state of Virginia. And it put Megan on the map, and she's doing wonderfully well, working on scripts for, I think, J.J. Abrams now. But that was, it's a competition that anybody, you can be, you know, write scripts down in your basement by yourself, homemaker, student, retired person. That all
could
starts
Steven
at the
Spielberg win that award? Could he if he had said, I promise to shoot it in Virginia?
He may have been considered
might have
if
a
he
shot.
Submitted a script, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here we are, WNRN. Thanks for listening today to the Wake Up Call, talking about filmmaking in Virginia. A lot of stories having to do with Lincoln, which just came out nationally. I believe just this Friday is when it became a national movie.
Wonderful reviews.
I have not read a review yet. Now, is that sort of would the folks who are heavily involved in making this happen only read the wonderful reviews? Has it gotten a negative review? Does Steven Spielberg no longer get a negative review?
Oh, no. I think he's gotten negative reviews for things that
happened. He got, if I may, on War Horse, a lot of people didn't care for it. Some critics accuse Mr. Spielberg of being too sentimental now and so on and so forth. That's some of the criticism that I've read that he gets.
Well, one of the things that caught my attention, again, there's a wonderful article in one of the alternative weekly newspapers here in Charlottesville that said that working on this film, Lincoln, was so historically wonderful. I don't remember the actual phrase that was used, but when you looked back and talked about the Holocaust, you talked about Schindler's List.
Right.
And so when you talk about Abraham Lincoln, people are going to talk about Spielberg's movie Lincoln. And so that sort of came up as, I guess, I believe it was one of the actors in the film where it sort of gave him, what do you call them? See, this
goosebumps.
Is where I have goosebumps. Thank you. Robert can look at me and show
Robert's
see that I'm
Robert's
having goosebumps.
Robert's a writer.
Very quick on my feet there.
Yeah. Yes, much better than myself. Did any of that go through your minds when you were talking about working with Steven Spielberg, working on such a grandiose project? Because I think the word passion was used. This is one of his passion projects that he'd been working on.
And important. It felt like an important project. Not fluff-filled in any way.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
As we all know, there was a lot of discussion regarding Daniel Day-Lewis, how he used his voice, excuse me, because he uses I'll let the audience again go who haven't seen it, but we're used to Raymond Massey or Henry Fonda or Gregory Peck. And historically, if you want to get the historic, is that from historical records that we've, a lot of people commented on Mr. Lincoln's higher voice, higher pitch voice, because in those days, of course, the speakers would use a higher pitch so the voice would carry. So that's what one of the things that Mr. Lewis brought to the characterization and brought him down to a more human level, if I'm quoting some critics correctly. But it's an American story. He's an icon, obviously, and I think Mr. Spielberg treated it as such with great respect and wanted to get it right. And many people believe he did. Robert, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and actually just in terms of the topic of Lincoln himself, I mean, he's such obviously a rich, epic subject, and I would just hope that maybe this film help jumpstart that interest in that particular period and around that particular figure who, I think in my estimation, my personal opinion is probably our greatest president. It's Shakespearean in its heights and depths in terms of what he dealt with and how he handled everything. He was a genius, and he also could play politics with the best of them. And there's so many rich stories just in his presidency before, so hopefully this would help spur even more more stories, to whether it's filmed or not. Actually, just on a side note, I saw Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
There've been
the
a lot of
night,
Lincoln movies out in there.
Yeah,
well,
and even that was surprisingly
of the
good.
Civil War.
Yeah, but it was accurate. It was historically. They actually used as much fact in it as they could, aside from maybe the one non-factual element, which was Lincoln destroying vampires.
And actually, the Lincoln Museum has given it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a good film. I was surprised. It's like, wow, this is actually a wonderful tale, and it all makes sense, eerily enough.
If I may, Rick, regards to your question of when we're on the set, I don't know if you felt this, Robert. We're watching the production going on, you're involved in what you're doing, but then occasionally you'd step back and you'd look at the scene across the way, across the House of Representatives, and the beautiful lighting and the smoke and the costumes and everyone in character. And it was a beautiful photograph that you lost yourself and you said, I'm here. This is the way it was, and I'm in the midst of it, and it's history.
I have to say, when you see the film, and I've had the opportunity to see it twice, and I think it's going to take maybe 3 more viewings of it before I really feel like I've taken everything in, because the tableaus are amazing. It feels like you're looking at an old master painting. The chiaroscuro and the lighting.
Oh, the lighting of photography.
Is it Janus? What is
it? Yeah. Janus, yes.
It's incredible. Mm. And there are so many details and so many props that your eye is skipping all across the screen trying to take it all in.
Well, pardon me, regarding Tony Kushner, Robert spoke with Mr. Kushner a few times. He got to know him in New York. And Mr. Kushner, you'd come into the set-in, and he would lay out notes of that day in regards to your political views, so that you knew what was happening on that day historically, and to give you a little more background, even if you didn't have any particular lines to add to your character.
Tony Kushner, the screenwriter for this movie, Lincoln.
Absolutely. Maybe not every morning, but many times he would have notes there for each groups of politicians.
And he would use his own modern-day vernacular, which is odd, because he'd have the script with the lines that are written in the language of the day, but then him translating it in terms of a stage direction, like, this is a big deal, you know, and
right.
things of that nature.
Newspaper clippings of the day.
Yeah, it was very thorough.
11:40 here on the Wake Up Call, talking about filmmaking in Virginia and some specifics about the film Lincoln that was made just down the road in Richmond and Petersburg. Our guests, Ann Chapman, Kevin O'Donnell, Robert Ray, all involved in the film Lincoln and filmmaking in the state of Virginia.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Market for Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news, on newsstands Thursday. Here's Rick on what you can find on this week's Hook.
Oh, in this week's Hook, Charlottesville has plenty of movie news to share, from the downtown Regal's controversial transformation to an art house, an indie film starring a local musician, to the latest project from a local producer turned radio star. And oh yeah, there's that new 14-screen theater in town. Police found duct tape, handcuffs, and a butcher's knife on a local man who tried to abduct a UVA student. And a local small business incubator called Seedville gives folks the chance to help Charlottesville's only mobile donut cart. The Hook. You can handle the truth. And Blue Ridge Graphics at Mead Avenue and East High Street. Let's thank them for their support. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 434-296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And don't forget, at noon, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Purdue. That's the best of 80s and 90s alternative music. Drew brings you the roots of alternative, because you can't understand where we are without first knowing where we've been. Take a trip back to the times gone by with Les Temps Purdue, only on WNRN. All right, back again with our guests, Ann Chapman, Kevin O'Donnell, Robert Ray, all involved in filmmaking here in the state of Virginia. And, you know, I know it's been driving him crazy, my friend and producer, Sean McCord here, heavily involved in films in our area, did some interviews for the 25th anniversary of the Virginia Film Festival. Sean, I know you have questions for these folks. Would you like to share?
Well, not a question as much as I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you, Rick, for taking my suggestion on doing this particular topic. I know we did the film festival just a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's interesting to see this other side of this. And I want to thank my friends, Kevin and Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
We've worked together before. We've acted together before. I've produced a show that both these fellows were in. It's a pleasure to have you here. And my new friend, thank you very much for coming in. I think this is I particularly want to thank you and Erica Arvold for making this possible, for bringing something, such a great project like Lincoln to Virginia, and just say that after all these years, it's so good to finally see Lincoln doing well in the theater.
I opened the microphone so you could make that comment.
Thank you, Sean.
Oh, I apologize to everyone listening. I had no idea that was coming.
That will
show you. That's why Sean is retiring at the end of the year. Ann Chapman, one of the things that I found interesting was you had you talked about casting the proper people for the historical age that the film was set in. And there was a story in the newspaper article that talked about the gentleman who had to grow the beard.
Oh,
will you share that?
Michael Kennedy. He's not the only one that had to grow a beard. And many people still have their beards. But there was this odd time in Richmond in particular where it just seemed like the bearded city right before filming started. Whether it was you were at Costco and the guy that was checking you out had a huge beard going on. Everyone was growing beards, not only for day player roles, but particularly for extra roles. And they had open calls for extras with Billy Dowd, the extras casting director, with long beards. So Michael is a wonderful actor, worked with him on a number of projects. He's usually clean shaven, at least for a beard. Sometimes I think he has a mustache. And they seriously wanted hefty beards, months of growth. And it's taking you out of work for other commercial jobs. Mm-hmm. And so his was not the only when can I shave phone call that Eric and I got. We got numbers of them because actors were on hold for a very long time for this particular project. And when I say a long time, I mean 8 weeks, correct? Mm-hmm. How long were
you? At least 2 months, at least. Where we didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm. So you're gambling with other work that this is taking you out of. And Michael called me repeatedly, I would say, to ask whether he was still in consideration and whether he could shave his beard. A lot of people said, my wife doesn't like it. Well, I think it was that the actors, it was hot. It was, you know.
Always blame it on the women.
Yeah, it was July and August, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And we had this conversation, like, I cannot give you the definitive answer. You need to make this decision for yourself. But look at the facts and decide, are you willing?
I remember, Robert, maybe A.V. Kaufman, the main
casting director.
That Anne and Erica were associated with, Ms. Kaufman
she
in
hired
New York.
Us.
Well, she would send us emails and say, before there was any offer or anything, was are you willing to be on hold through September, October? And you, of course, you said yes, without knowing it, the end result, Rick. So you were growing this beard in hopes that it would come to fruition.
Right, and not a small beard.
No.
You said hefty beard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hefty beards. Hefty beards. My favorite beard pictures were Carbon Leaf, the lead singer of Carbon Leaf. Yeah. Barry... I don't know why his last name has just gone out of my head. I'm sure everyone will know who he is. No. And he was on tour with his band and would send us updated pictures of him having to go out on stage with his band with this massive beard. Now, he took it to a new art form and really enjoyed growing the beard, and the beard had a whole life of its own online. But Barry Privett, that's what his name is. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone had to contend with this. Of course, the minute that shooting ended and everybody was so excited to shave their beards, we got so many phone calls. Are there any other Civil War projects coming up? Should I keep this beard? What should I do with this beard? And actually, we had two other Civil War projects, one right after the other, come up. And so it came to the point, Erica Arvold, the casting director for Killing Lincoln, and I worked with her on that as well. And the abolitionist. We would just put on our website or on our Facebook pages, gentlemen, grow your beards again. It's time for the beard.
Start your beard.
Start your beard.
And for those who, hefty beard, the pictures that I saw, these are very much sort of slightly manicured ZZ Top-ish.
Definitely.
I mean, they're well below the neckline, and then with the manicured mustachey part of the beard, we're not talking about not shaving for... for the month while you're...
No Shave November? No, this is way beyond no shave.
When we went in for our initial... Robert could comment on this. When we went in for our initial to Mechanicsville for our costumes and our makeup and hair, Lois, a wonderful makeup artist, would try and give each individual a personality as far as she cut her beards. And she'd look back at me and she goes, character. Mm-hmm. And she tried to give everyone an individual look.
And long before, the note that we had gotten was that they would really like to put as little amount of fake hair in the beards as possible. They really want a lot to choose from to be able to
trim back.
So let it grow is the note that we got.
Let it grow.
and the frustration for this project for women in the state of Virginia, women actors, where there are, when you see it, there are very few female roles and just scores of roles.
I heard from a lot of women actresses.
They had to grow beards too. I thought my job was difficult.
Oh, I don't know. Some of us can grow a good beard given the chance.
Yeah, just kidding.
But we had 17 at least sessions, full sessions, maybe 50 actors in a day, maybe more than that. 95% of them male.
Mm-hmm. WNRN, you're listening to The Wake Up Call. We talk about filmmaking in Virginia, some specifics on the film Lincoln, Steven Spielberg, released nationally just this past Friday. Our guests, Ann Chapman, Kevin O'Donnell, Robert Ray, all involved in the film Lincoln. And let me ask you, again, we go back to that article that I read in our other alternative weekly here in Charlottesville. I think your partner, Erica Arvold, there was a phrase that she used about being a casting director that said, a visual vault for faces.
Oh, that's a wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love that. Erica is such a treasure for this area. You guys are very lucky to have her. She is nationally known, very well respected, has years of experience in Los Angeles, and now is in Charlottesville and is bringing that experience and those projects right here to Central Virginia.
But put that phrase to me, from me in a manner that I can understand a little better. The job of a casting director, it isn't that you get a call from the folks making Lincoln and say, you know, find me 200 people and you put an ad in the newspaper to do so. There's
in
much
fact,
more
we
to
we were not
it.
Allowed to put an ad in the newspaper for this project. It was very on the down low. You know, we are continually going to films, to film festivals, to theater, to showcases, having general auditions, having actors introduce us to other actors, having people send us their reel online, or please look at my link online, and it is a visual vault. For example, I can see all of your CDs behind you here on the wall in the studio. That is what my brain feels like for casting. You know, I have just picture after picture after picture after picture after picture. I may not be great with names, but I pretty much know your face. And Erica has her own database that she works with. I have a database that I work with. I still also love pictures, literally 8x10 pictures. I have thousands of them in my home. And I may not come back to an actor for maybe 8 years in between projects, but if they're the right actor for a role, I'll call them back in and they'll be like, I can't believe you still have my contact information.
Do you walk, I know you're in Richmond, but would you walk the downtown mall and stop someone you didn't know because they had the face that you were looking for?
All right, so not usually for speaking roles will you do that unless they are a doppelganger for a historical, you know, role that you're looking for. But there are two guys in Richmond who I knew what the specs were for the extras, and I had the contact information for the extras casting director. One of them works in Starbucks at Target in Richmond, and he just had the right look. And I said, are you interested? And he said, yes, I'm definitely planning on it. And he's in the film, you know.
Very good.
And I still see him when I go to Target and have Starbucks.
Very good.
And then there's another gentleman who was in my neighborhood for years. He is a handyman. And I knew he had the right look for this particular role, which was a speaking role. And we brought him in for the audition. And, man, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. He was excellent. And higher up, he didn't end up getting the role, but he worked as an extra on the film.
It's Ann Chapman. She's a casting director out of Richmond working for bringing filmmaking to Virginia. Robert and Kevin, why still here? You know, why not going to New York or going to L.A. to do the movie making thing? movie writing,
well,
Robert.
I've been in New York.
Robert's a well-known playwright in town, if I can just interject
quick. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin's a wonderful actor who's done my plays.
I love you, too.
Pat. I've been in New York and L.A. as an actor and have had and have pursued getting work out there and have had some success. I was on a soap opera for a while in L.A., Days of Our Lives, and have done work in New York, different films, small parts in films and stuff. And I go back to New York as frequently as I can, sometimes do work still in New York because it's not that far from here. So it's not like I'm out of the New York scene per se. I still have many contacts and friends and so on and so forth. But after so many years, it's nice to have a place that, I mean, Virginia, first of all, is home. It's where I'm from. So my own personal story was, you know, wanting to get back to my roots, but not so far away from, like, a place like New York where I'm cut off. So I still actually pursue the acting and writing life in terms of being in New York, even though I'm not living there. But Virginia, just if I had been in New York and this film, Lincoln, was casting there, I can almost guarantee you that I would not have been seen for it. So the beautiful thing about Virginia and being an actor in Virginia is that you have channels to be seen for projects like this and without dealing with the competition that you would have, like in a big city like New York or L.A. So it gives you that that in, and that's a huge, huge plus for being here.
I just think sometimes it's easy to get in the back door, so to speak. Not in a disparaging way at all. Just have you, if you have any kind of ability and you have the ability to stand out and act and look what they're looking for, sometimes it's easy to be in a smaller market.
And I have to say, from a casting perspective, if you're lucky enough to have been from the state of Virginia, it's a great place to come back to after you've maybe been there and done that in the L.A. and New York scene and decided it's not for you and you prefer to have a nicer lifestyle. Your life outside of the work is very important to you. And we love these actors, Kevin and Robert, amongst them, that have amazing resumes, have worked for years, but now they're living in the state of Virginia, and so we are allowed to cast them as local hires here. It's a boon. It's a boon for us.
11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN talking about filmmaking in Virginia. The movie Lincoln filmed here in Richmond and Petersburg. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Our guests, Robert Ray, Kevin O'Donnell, and Chapman. Guys, I guess this applies to all three of you. Now that you can put Lincoln on your resume, how much easier is work going to be to find?
It doesn't hurt having been directed by Mr. Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
Yep. People are banging on my door daily. Not about that, about paying bills and stuff. But absolutely, it's a beautiful nugget to have on the resume, certainly.
Well, you have that experience under your belt on a project like that. You've been there. Yeah. You've been at the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And you find, we were talking about earlier, how one conducts oneself, or what does one expect on and on. And you've been there. You've had that. You were lucky to have the experience right away.
Well, Kevin, you used the phrase World Series. Is bringing movies to Charlottesville or to Virginia, is this the pinnacle? Or are we going to be able to, any other films that come to Virginia to be done? Are they all going to be second place or lesser to Spielberg doing Lincoln here?
Mr. Spielberg is Mr. Spielberg. I mean, it can't be denied of that project money-wise and what it brings. However, if you're on any kind of set, I'm involved in a small indie now in Virginia, when you're before the camera on the set, you hope you conduct yourself in the same respectful and professional way. And Virginia, if I may plug, I have a production company. I've shot my own little film here in the state, and I hope to do more. It's just, but as for regard to your questions, any set is professional. Any set, well thought, well written, is worthwhile to be on. And Virginia offers many, many opportunities.
And let's talk about it in terms of that saying that playing tennis with a better tennis player makes you a better tennis player.
Absolutely.
I'm an adjunct at VCU in the cinema department, and I don't know, in the past 5 years, we've made 50 student films, a couple of them being features. Kevin was involved with one.
Yes, and cast all those films.
And those students, I think 10 or 15 of them, were in the right place at the right time and had the right skill set to be able to be production assistants or work in whatever department they worked on Lincoln. So what they learned in the camera department, what they learned in art department, they bring to the student films. And then once they graduate, a lot of them go other places, but a lot of them stay in Virginia, whether it's Charlottesville and Richmond. And that becomes their norm of what is expected on a set, what they've seen in the big leagues. So it just helps filmmaking all over the state to have productions like that come in.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to the three of you for being on the
show
today.
Thanks for having us, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Kevin O'Donnell, Robert Ray, and Chapman, all involved in the film Lincoln. It's now out nationally. Is it at the new Crazy Theater with 14?
Yes, it is. 10 o'clock tomorrow morning there's a showing.
Yes. See it. We won't tell you how it ends.
Someone from this group could tell me where and when. Thanks so much for the three of
you
participating today.
Thank you much.
And then next Sunday, Barbara Norden will be here. She's a author, investigative reporter. We'll do a little local history on Swannanoa up at the top of Afton Mountain. Thanks for listening. Drew Thompson up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news. On newsstands Thursday, the wake-up call is also supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.